guided by a master plan for complete domination of the earth.
I hope you will like it.
Blub, 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 blah, blah, blob. Coming to you from some secret location under the ocean, it's Paranormal Hotline. Paranormal Hotline is the weekly paranormal podcast that pursues all peculiar plesiosaurs, meditates on Mothman, and considers copacetic cryptids. My name is Oisin, and I'm joined by my co-ghost, Kaylee. Kaylee, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. I really want to cut that audio sample of you going blub, 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 and set it as my ringtone now, because that's great.
We can release it as a ringtone on the Patreon.
I can totally, like, I'm going to remix it. It's going to be like, blub, 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 blub.
Yeah, auto-tune it.
Yeah.
Just every song.
I have that sample forever now.
Have you had anything spooky happen to you since we've last podcasted?
I don't think so. No. Nothing particularly spooky. Even though Halloween happened. And
even though Halloween happened, it was a fairly gentle Halloween, I think.
It was. It was a very busy year for me this year, so I really didn't get to do much Halloween stuff, which was sad. But, yeah, nothing paranormal anyway. Although I didn't really go looking. We'll have to start going to more, like, investigations and stuff, because
we
need more spookiness in our lives. Everybody does.
We do. We can do, like, if we start the year on Halloween, we can make it a New Year's resolution.
Hey, there's a good idea.
I definitely feel a bit washed up, but otherwise I'm good. Bit worn out, you know how it is. But oddly, washed up is fitting for this week's episode.
I was going to say, you look washed up. You look
a bit wet,
to be honest.
A bit wet.
Slimy looking there.
Slimy. Yeah. Oh, well.
You know, like, you know, so those aliens that you get in the slime egg thingies? That's how you're looking right now.
We once launched one of those as kids, like, to the ceiling.
Oh, yeah, we did that all the time.
And it stuck.
Oh, they'd stick for like 20
for
years
weeks.
To the ceiling. And you'd look fondly up at the stain and be like, oh, remember the time. Do you remember, like, the rumor that you could get pregnant ones?
Yes. I saw one before.
I don't know. That doesn't sound real.
I swear to God.
I had
one. There was one with it.
I swear, like, everyone was like, oh, they can have babies. Some of them can have twins. And I was like, no way. There's not even a hole on this thing. Like,
No. There was one and it had, like, it was like a layer on the back of its head. Like a seam.
Oh, my God.
And the seam came open and there was a smaller one inside it.
I don't know. I'm going to have to do some research.
I didn't have it. It was like,
I'll get back to you guys.
My granny's neighbor.
I'll get back to you guys at the start of next week's episode. I'll research this week and let you know if this is fact or fiction. Oisin says it's fact. I say it's fiction.
Okay. We'll settle this once and for all. I'm wondering if you can get them because...
Because what? Your ceiling's looking a bit bare?
Yeah, kind of. Well, I've, you know... In the past, I've dabbled with potato cannons.
Oh, holy God.
I'm seeing like a perfectly sized and shaped alien egg.
What you should do is go to like a hotspot for UAP sightings and try and just launch the small aliens at the UAPs.
Pneumatically yeet it.
I can just picture it like getting stuck to their windshield. Like, what is that? Is that supposed to be us?
This week, we're looking at the strangeness, the slimy strangeness, a phenomenon that has a great name, globsters.
I had to Google it when you said this to me, because I really have never heard that phrase before. Like, I knew what it was, but globsters? Who coined that phrase?
Ah, well...
Was it you?
No, I didn't come up with this. I wish I came up with this. It's so good. So, like, in literature... things are referred to for a long time, they're just like blobs. Oh, you know, a blob washed up. But then in 1962, a biologist named Ivan T. Sanderson coined the term. He was like, it's a globster. He was describing the Tasmanian carcass or the Tasmanian globster.
Oh, I've never heard of this before.
Yeah, so 1962, the Tasmanian globster washed ashore in August. You know, he wrote about it in 1962. It washed ashore in 1960 in western Tasmania. It was 20 feet by 18 feet, so like...
Oh my God.
6.1 by 5 by 5.
That's huge.
5.5 meters.
I was picturing like a small, like, blob, like, I don't know, like bucket full of blob.
Yeah. Yeah, no. These are normally huge.
That's gigantic.
They make waves, if you know what I mean. And they reckoned this thing weighed somewhere between 5 and 10 tons.
Whoa.
So like, I have... tons elude me, so there's like imperial tons and there's metric tons.
Wait, those are different?
Roughly speaking.
They're different tons?
Kind of. Slightly, that's yes. Confusing. Roughly 5,000 to 10,000 kilograms, this thing.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, that's ginormous.
Yeah. The Mercury, which was a newspaper, did an article on it. It's great. Sea monster may become world topic. Nearly as big as a house, it was covered with fine hair. About 20 feet long, 18 feet wide, and about 4.5 feet thick, with an estimated weight of between 5 and 10 tons. These are the dimensions of the sea monster found on the far west coast, according to the investigating party. The part exposed was hard and rubbery, and in an extremely good state of preservation. Gulls, Tasmanian devils, native cats, and crows have been tearing at it for months to no avail.
Oh my god! They didn't get rid of it? They just left it there?
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
The party... Yeah, these things are like too big to deal with.
Yeah, but
sometimes.
You know when whales wash up on the beach and they just explode them?
We'll get to that.
Yay!
The party described it in general outline as like a huge turtle without appendages. It was initially covered with fine hair, described by stockmen as being like sheep's wool with a greasy feel. The animal had a hump of about 4 feet in front and tapered gradually to about 6 inches to what they presumed to be the back. There were four large hanging lobes in the front, and between the center pair was a smooth gullet-like orifice.
What? That is a description and a half. That's wild.
The margin of the hind part
still goes. Okay.
Had, it still goes.
Still going.
The margin of the hind part had protuberances about 1 foot wide by 13 inches deep. Each of these carried a single row of spines, sharp and hard, about as thick as a pencil and quill-like. There was no appearance of eyes or other organs. The party said a strong acidic reek came off the flesh, very similar to battery acid.
Whoa.
And dogs and horses were unwilling to approach it.
Just dogs and horses. Cats and birds were eating it. What the fuck is this thing?
Yeah,
is
I mean,
there, oh,
it goes on.
Please tell me there's like a drawing of it or a photo.
There is a drawing.
Oh, excellent. Because I can't picture this thing in my head. It's too wild.
Well, I don't think you're expecting this.
What is that? They said it looked like a turtle. That looks nothing like a turtle. It looks like a hairy slug. Oh my god. Oh, I can see the gills on it now.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what the heck that is. I don't know. It looks
that's
like
the Tasmanian globster.
It
Haley.
Looks like somebody took a chunk out of a whale, but like you'd see if it was a chunk of a whale because it would have like whale chunks on it or like,
well,
you know, bite marks or something. I don't know. This is just like a hairy giant snail. What the hell is that? I don't know what this thing is. I hate it, and I don't want to see it. Why did it come out of the ocean?
You can just stop looking at it.
Can it just go back? I don't get it. What? It's so heavy. How did it float? I don't. What is this thing? Nearly as big as a house.
I know. Well, the 1981, so they kept bits of it, right?
Oh, okay.
They did.
Please, DNA.
It was identified in 1981 by L.E. Wall.
Oh.
In the Tasmanian Naturalist, and he identified it in the journal. And he identified it as a whale.
Yes, I was right. It was a whale.
You were right. Yep. And then whatever, later on they did like electron microscope stuff of the collagen fibers.
Yeah.
And that confirmed it. So that kind of is where you get a lot of like the small hairs from.
Yeah.
Is like the muscle fibers coming apart and like disintegrating. That's why they're white, because they're rotting.
Oh, that's so weird.
I was going to say, it kind of reminds me of like with the hair. It reminds me of the furry trout.
Oh yeah, the fur-bearing trout. Yeah. I can understand that, yeah. I'm glad the fur-bearing trout's not that big.
I know, yeah.
I mean, they did a really good job with the drawing of that, because you can see how even it looks like a whale. But also, they made it look like a slug.
I know.
Oh, I wish I was alive back then when everything that washed up was a mystery. You know, I hate when someone's like, oh yeah, it's DNA, it's just a whale. It's like, no, let me believe
that's
kind of
what's
creature,
after happening.
You know?
Yeah. I have a list I'm going to go through, but it is very much like with modern science, they've been able to go back because they've kept specimens from these things.
Yeah.
You know, and they're able to do like figuring out what materials they're made up of. It's like, oh, that's very similar to the makeup in like this creature or that creature.
Yeah.
Everyone is really reading all these accounts. Everyone is really, they really want to find giant octopuses.
Oh, well.
Every time they see something, they're like, that's a giant octopus.
I assume there was just like not. So many spoiler stories alert, it's not. About giant octopuses that, you know, that's what people are expecting to see out in the ocean, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I suppose octopus have beaks as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, they do.
Sometimes.
Yeah, they have the hard
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Beak.
No, that's good. But they keep it up.
Yeah. Inside. They can fit, I think they can fit through anything that their beak can fit through. Like for like doors.
Yeah,
and
the rest of them is the rest of them is liquid or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it's pretty much jelly.
Yeah, they're wild. Love octopuses. So in a general sense, a globster, and excuse me during this if I say blobster, they're referred to either globsters or blobs. So, I mean, blobster is a natural progression. But basically, something washes up on the shore. It's kind of dead. It's blob-shaped, maybe squishy, slimy. That's a globster. It's a very general catch-all term, it seems. They appear in history. They get reported in papers and in journals, normally because they're huge. They're still, like, even with science being able to go, like, we finally figured out what that is. They are utterly bizarre things. And I love how they fire off everyone's imagination when they see him. And they're like, what could it be from the ocean? Wikipedia has like a list of notable globsters, which is great, and an unexpected Wikipedia heading.
Do you know what I keep and thinking about whenever you say it? I keep thinking about the song Rock Lobster, but like, but it wasn't just a rock. It was a rock globster. Rock globster.
We should make a cover album.
Yeah.
That list is like globsters or blobs, as mentioned in literature. So we're going to like, I'm going to quickly go through that list and we're going to dip into some of these.
Ooh.
And just kind of summarize.
I think I'd rather not.
Summarize the bits that they reference. So the earliest on the list is the Stronsay Beast. And off the bat, some great illustrations. These are from like 1808. So I want to be friends, whatever creature this is.
How is that a blobster?
I don't know. I think it's like they saw it and they were like, we must figure out what this
that's
is.
That's a hairy plesiosaurus.
Well,
look at its nose. It's like Squidward's nose.
I love him. I love him.
That's why he's a globster. He's a Minecraft villager.
Mystery solved. The Stronsay Beast is a massive globster that washed up on the shores of Stronsay Island in the Orkney Islands, Scotland, following a storm on September 25th, 1808.
Oh, I just noticed it has like six legs.
Yeah, and it has the hairs. So, I mean, I think, you know, we're setting off the way we continue to go on.
What, hairy?
The size of it was kind of, yeah. Measuring 55 feet or 16.8 meters in length, excluding part of its tail, this creature baffled the National History Society of Edinburgh, leading them to speculate that it represented a new species, likely a sea serpent. In tribute to Eric Pontoppidan, who had described sea serpents in a publication half a century earlier, the Scottish naturalist Patrick Neale bestowed upon it the scientific name. Oh, for fuck's sake.
You wrote this!
This is so much easier when you read silently to yourself. Halcidris Pompopidani.
No way.
Pontopidani's sea snake is what that means.
Say that again.
Halcidris Pontopidani.
Oh, okay.
Sir Everett Home, an anatomist in London, later contested the initial measurements, suggesting a length of approximately 30 feet or 9 metres, and identifying it as a decomposed basking shark. In 1849, Scottish professor John Goodsir in Edinburgh concurred with this assessment. It was measured by a carpenter and two farmers, revealed that it had a width of 4 feet, which is 1.2 metres, and a circumference of approximately 10 feet, 3.1 metres. When they were measuring it, they were like, it has three pairs of appendages, which were described as paws or wings. When stroked from its head to tail, because that's what you do, the skin felt smooth, and in the opposite direction, from tail to head, it was rough. The creature's fins were adorned with bristles, and a line of bristles ran down its back, which emitted a glow in the dark when damp.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Well, there is actually like a bacteria that does that, isn't there?
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't know an awful lot about it, but I've heard that it can actually fester in wounds, that bacteria. Because there was a whole story about this, people who were on a battlefield and their wounds started glowing. I don't know for certain.
That's wild.
But yeah, I think there is something to that.
Yeah, we're glowing for better or for worse.
Yeah, one way or another, we're glowing.
The Stronsay Beast's stomach contents appeared to be red.
He's drinking
Kool-Aid. Yeah, he's drinking Kool-Aid. So that's one. In 1896, a blob washed up on the coast near St. Augustine, Florida. It's known as the St. Augustine Monster. Two boys saw it and they reported it to their local physician, Dr. DeWitt Webb. He was the founder of the St. Augustine Historical Society and Institute of Science. He came to the beach the next day on December 1st. And he was kind of the only person with an academic background to see the specimen there. Here's the early photo of it.
Ooh, this one's a photograph?
Yes.
Oh, no. Do you know what this looks like? It looks like the, what's the thing from Chernobyl, the elephant's footprint?
Yeah, it does, actually.
It's just a blob. Nasty.
So, his first impression was that it was like the remains of some animal that was very mutilated and kind of along its way decomposing. It was very pink, almost white in colour, with a silver reflection in the sunlight. It was composed of a rubbery substance of a very hard consistency that could only be cut with great difficulty, which is kind of similar to how they described that first one.
Yeah, that's true, actually. This is like very tough.
In 1960.
Yeah.
Yeah. The part of the carcass that was visible measured 18 feet or 6 metres in length and 7 feet or 2.5 metres in width. Webb estimated it to weigh about 5 tonnes, if not more. And then he believed that it was the remains of a giant octopus. Because it appeared to have like stumps of forearms, and then he was like, there's another one underneath, buried nearby or such.
Oh.
December 7th, he got a couple of photo hobbyists to go and take some pictures.
Oh, that's funky looking. I mean, it does kind of look mm-hmm. like almost like a whale again. But I can see how somebody would look at and say squid, you know, or octopus.
Yeah.
I don't like the way that looks. It almost looks like it has its throat cut or something there.
Yeah, it has a big gash in it. Like, he was describing the mutilation.
Yeah. Did they do that to it, or did that happen to it beforehand? Because that looks gnarly.
So that's after it was dug up out of the sand.
Oh, right, okay.
So it could have been disturbed as part of
it. I'd imagine so. Because it's a very clean cut.
It is. Here is him next to it for scale.
Oh, that's them pulling it out of the... Yeah, I can see where he's seeing, like, octopus with that.
Yeah, it has things going on.
Especially just the way they've pulled it up out of the sand.
In February of the next year, a fella called Mr. Wilson wrote a memo to Webb, and he had kind of dug around the corpse, and his memo goes, one arm laying west of the body, 23 feet long. One stump of arm, about 4 feet long. Three arms laying south of body, and from appearance, attached to same. Although I did not dig quite to body, as it laid well down in the sand and I was very tired. Longest one measured over 23 feet. The other arms were 3 to 5 feet shorter.
That's bizarre. I don't know what he's judging as arms. I don't know if it's like flesh or whether there's bone there. So it'd be interesting to know a bit more. But it does look really weird. Like, this is definitely the weirdest one out of all of them so far.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for you to be like, oh yeah, they tested DNA.
They might. they definitely did test the DNA.
Oh, okay.
I hate to tell you.
Definitely confirmed giant octopus from outer space then.
Sure. It might definitely have been a whale.
Why? Why?
It's the blubber. The blubber is what confuses people.
Yeah. How did he see so many arms though? He like knew nothing about
it breaks
what,
up
like,
the way it breaks up
about octopus, and was just like, yeah, that looks like what I read in a book once, maybe.
Yeah, it's kind of like the layers of the blubber tear.
Yeah, makes sense.
But like at the time, everyone's like, they were going wild. There was like an article in the Pennsylvania Grit that December, written by Dr. George Grant. His description is: the head is as large as an ordinary flour barrel and has the shape of a sea lion head. The neck, if the creature is said to have a neck, is of the same diameter of the body. Does that really mean you have a neck? Probably not. The mouth is on the underside of the head and is protected by two tentacle tubes about 8 inches in diameter and about 30 feet long. These tubes resemble an elephant's trunk and are obviously used to clutch in a sucker-like fashion any object within their reach. Another tube or tentacle of the same dimension stands out on the top of the head. Two others, one on each side, protrude from the from beyond the monster's neck and extend fully 15 feet along the body and beyond the tail. The tail, which is separated and jagged with cutting points for several feet, is flanked with two or more tentacles of the same dimensions as the other and 30 feet long. The eyes are under the back of the mouth instead of over it. The specimen is so badly cut up by sharks and sawfish that only the stumps of the tentacles remain. But pieces of them are found strewn for some distance on the beach, showing that the animal had a fierce battle with its foes before it was disabled and beached by the surf.
Wow. That's very dramatic.
Yeah, it is.
It must have been such an exciting time for them. Like, imagine.
I know.
Oh, it'd be so cool.
Yeah. When we weren't able to tell things apart.
Yeah.
It was washed out and it came back. And actually, the picture where he's standing next to it, I think, is when it got washed back in. This picture was also in the Pennsylvania Grit, I think, accompanying the article. It was based on someone reading his description.
Oh my God.
This is actually, it's not actually what it looks
that
like.
That is completely different creature. Like, I can understand why they drew that from his description, because he did describe it looking like this.
Yes.
But the photos look nothing like that.
He was
like
paid
that.
To write, goddammit.
Look at the lips on that thing. Those are its lips, right? That's like its mouth.
Sure, I think so. Yeah.
Why did he have to draw such thick lips?
A biochemist at the University of Chicago. And also, he was a founding member of the International Society of Cryptozoology.
Woo!
In 1986, Roy Mackle, he tested samples of the St. Augustine carcass for different amino acids. And he compared them with known amino acids from tissues of, like, a spotted dolphin, a beluga, a giant squid, and two other species of octopus. Gancaro carried out comparative histological examination of the tissue and concluded that it most resembled contemporary octopus tissue.
Oh, really?
While these results were highly suggestive, further biochemical work was required for an unambiguous identification of the tissue.
Oh.
So he was thinking, it's a big octopus, which is what they kind of thought of at the day.
Yeah.
But then in 1995, they were also examined and they did, like, electron microscope stuff, looking up real close.
Oh, right.
And it was like, it's basically pure collagen.
Oh. So they didn't have any DNA, basically.
And, well, no, they said that the results that they got suggested that they were remains of the skin of an enormous warm-blooded vertebrae.
Oh.
Which obviously isn't an octopus.
Yeah, a whale.
But most likely a big whale. You know.
Right, okay. That's interesting.
But they were saying it's probably like the blubber layer, which makes sense why it would float in.
Yeah, 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 that's true.
And also why it'd be slimy. Apparently, like, in 2004, there was an analysis done on various globsters, and they were like, all these guys, they're probably whales. This is a very skeptical episode.
Yeah.
It turns
this
out.
This is a shit it was, paranormal.
I was like, sorry. I was like, time to go globstering, and it was there, like, all my research was like, hey man, but of course they're cover-ups, so
yeah.
If you're enjoying the podcast, think about helping us out by checking out our Patreon. We are an independent podcast, so we don't get funding from anywhere else, so the small amount from every patron adds up and helps us keep up with the cost of running the podcast. It'll all add up and it'll all help. If you're not in a position to support us that way, you can help us out for free by rating the podcast wherever you listen to it and letting people know about it. So whatever way you do support us, thank you. And if you enjoy listening, thank you again. Another globster from South Africa, washed up in Margate, 25th of October, 1924. Trunco. He has a name.
Trunco?
And Trunco. There's a picture of Trunco.
Oh, what the heck is that? Is that frozen?
It's Trunco. No, that's...
It's Trunco.
Squishy. That's Trunco.
Oh, it looks like ice or something. Oh, God. What the hell is that?
It's Trunco.
Trunco's horrifying looking.
We'll post all these pictures.
This is nightmare stuff. There's a skull in Trunco. I can see it.
Funnily enough, right? This gets me. Trunco is the one that is unknown.
Oh, no.
Trunco is like... He is the anomaly. No one knows what Trunco is. So the list, right? It was like Stronsa Beast, believed to be a basking shark. Augustine Monster, St. Augustine Monster, identified as a whale carcass. Trunco, not identified.
Oh my God. It is, like, hands down the scariest looking one. It looks like a prop from a horror movie where someone was like, make a blob. Like a scary looking blob.
It was reportedly sighted on the 25th of October, 1924, in Margate, South Africa. Then an article was published in December, same year, in the Daily Mail, and it was entitled "Fish Like a Polar Bear," and it basically, from there, a bunch of other papers they reported on it. I have one of them. The Call Leader, Elwood, Indiana. It was published the next year. Whales are slain by hairy monster. Strange battle witnessed on the coast of Africa. Durban, South Africa, H.C. Balance of the Margate Estate here was walking along the seacoast when he saw two whales battling for life against a strange sea monster whose head reared up 20 feet above the surface of the sea. Balance watched while the monster killed both whales and exhausted floated ashore on its back.
Oh my god.
Balance remembered an appointment and went home but returned.
Oh shit, I got a haircut.
Oh shit, the immersion.
What the fuck is this guy doing?
He went home but returned to the beach next morning and found the monster stranded and unconscious. He measured it and found it was 47 feet long, with a tail 10 feet long and 2 feet wide, and instead of a head, a trunk like an elephant's, 5 feet long and 14 inches in diameter, but resembling a pig's snout at the end. The monster was entirely covered with snow-white hair 10 inches long.
Oh my god.
For 10 days it remained on the beach, apparently resting. Then natives saw it refloat itself and swim off in a southeasterly direction.
No, what? That thing got back up and floated away? Are they telling me, like, are they saying that that thing got up and swam away? Look at it.
Yeah.
That is definitely something decomposed.
Well, Hugh Balance, this farmer, described the animal as looking like a giant polar bear because the fur, the white fur, you know?
Right. Man, I looked up other pictures of Trunco and he's so cute, man. There's some great fan art of him.
I only have horrific pictures to show you.
You just sent me the photographs, which makes sense. I'm looking at, like, fan art of him.
Oh, yeah.
He's beautiful. It's just this hairy white whale with a massive trunk.
No scientist investigated it while it was beached, and so there's no, like, reliable description.
Yeah.
The photos showed up in 2010.
Oh, okay.
And no one had thought they were published. Kind of any sort of description are from, like, people who have never been identified.
Oh, all right, okay. So it's kind of a mystery one.
But a paleontologist called Darren Naish wrote about the photos, and he said basically it's the rotting carcass of a large vertebrae.
Yeah.
Most likely a whale. But he explains, like, the white furred is, like, the fur is, like, it's like the collagen again, like, fraying while it's, like, decaying.
Right.
But then he's really mean and, like, well, he's not. It's just a turn of phrase. And is there, like... Well, you picked up on the fact that there's a skeleton. So he goes, "The presence of what seems to be a mostly obscured internal skeletal framework suggests that this is another globster. A rotting mass of whale tissue." Which, you know, not all globsters are whale tissue, let's be real. You know, they might not be whales. That's Trunco.
I love him. I think Trunco is great.
Trunco is great.
I want to know more about Trunco now, though.
The Trunco lore.
I'm going to have to look up Trunk, see if anybody's seen any more Truncos. I love them. I love them so much. I love random stuff that washes up and people have no idea what it is. That's, like, such a good mystery.
Yeah.
It's like when I was a kid, like, I've said it before on the podcast, but when I was a kid, I loved the Montauk Monster. That's pretty much like a miniature lobster, basically.
Yep. No, I have him in my notes. He's not a blobster, but blobster adjacent.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't quite fit the category.
Similarly, the Zuyo Maru carcass.
I don't know that one.
You do know it. Remember, it's the one that's hanging up on the ship. And I made you the picture for it.
Oh, yeah. That's the Japanese sailors found, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. God knows what that is.
That's a globster, right?
That's, yeah.
To be honest, when you
similar
said...
Similar sort of story.
When you said globster to me, I pictured the... You know, because some towns have had this thing where they get rained blobs or globs.
Oh, yeah.
And... I remember there was one case I was looking at a long time ago. I don't know if it's been debunked or not yet, but there was blobs that were raining down on this town and they tested them and it was white blood cells.
Yeah.
The heck?
I think you said that to me once. That is horrific.
Yeah, so weird.
We definitely need to commit and look into that.
Yeah. Ugh. These are just gross episodes, man. I hate this.
We mentioned about, like, proper disposal of whales earlier on.
Yeah.
And, like, I kind of, you know... You were like, they explode them. And, like, this is true. They normally explode them at sea.
Yeah.
They normally have, like, a controlled demolition. out at sea.
It's not just that, but because whales can explode on the...
I know.
Okay, sorry, I'm just... Yeah, go ahead, you go ahead.
No, I know what you're talking about. It is a horrific video. I'm not showing you that one.
Yeah, that's...
Because
I don't want to see it. I've seen it before.
That one's bad.
So, yeah, I think instead, what we're referencing is there's a... Whales will just, like, they'll just, like, fill up with gas when they die, and eventually there'll be too much pressure, and the body can just, like, explode.
They kind of tear and then show it's all the guts out the little hole, and it's nasty. But, no. What happens when you don't properly dispose of a whale at sea, and instead do it on land? November 9th, 1970... I'll close with this one. A 45 foot long sperm whale had washed ashore at Florence on the Oregon coast. It was estimated to be 16,000 pounds in weight, or, you know, 7,300 kilograms.
Holy.
I don't understand America. Whatever way, beaches in Oregon at the time were under jurisdiction of the state's highway division. That makes perfect sense, right?
What?
So anyway, they had a chat with the United States Navy. They were like, let's remove this with dynamite. And they thought that any resulting debris pieces, they'd, you know, seagulls would come and eat them, you know? You know this story, and it's a fucking disaster. So here's a video for you.
Like, and if you're any situation has to... Rely
the interview on this is beautiful.
According to most accounts, NASA has launched rockets with less fanfare.
They made a big spectacle of waving their hats, their hard hats in the air, and we're clear everybody away and all this, all clear.
The flag drops, the thing goes off.
And they touched that sucker off, and let me tell you, that thing went up and it was the biggest mushroom cloud you ever seen. And it was red and white and black, and it was nothing but guts and blood and gunk.
Carried by a wind, the cloud moved inland.
So everybody all of a sudden start realizing that, oh my God, here it comes. In this mist, we were covered, we were permeated with redness and the smell.
That would be the least of their problems. Those who witnessed the explosion agree that the next few moments seemed to last forever. Individual descriptions vary, but it soon became apparent that what should have been little pieces of whale turned out to be big ones.
And this stuff starts hitting the ground. Boom, 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 boom. And all of a sudden you realize, my God, I could be killed by whale blubber here.
That's a nightmare situation.
That is shocking. That was a huge piece of whale that could have killed somebody. Imagine dying like that.
Luckily, no one was killed.
Thank God. But that is so something I would go to and absolutely get killed at. Oh.
It's bad enough. You'd probably be breathing it. Like,
that's the thing I was thinking
about.
That's
the worst.
I was picturing, like, yeah, it looked like something at a carry with all the blood coming out on everyone.
So I was reading about it, and it's like they'd have been expecting, like, scavengers and birds to come and just eat the pieces, but the explosion frightened them all away.
Oh.
So they didn't show up for ages.
Oh my God. Who organized this? Who?
The Oregon Highway Division.
Now it is the Highway Oregon Division. Highway Division.
Yeah, yeah. Oregon Trail. On that bombshell.
Jeez. I just have a new appreciation for globsters, I think. Especially Trunco. I'm going to have to look up Trunco again.
Yes.
He's he's added to the catalog of... cryptids for me.
We can put him in the collected card game.
Yeah.
In the trading cards. The Paranormal Hotline registered trademark.
They will be scratch and sniff cards as well.
If you my gosh.
If you want to smell Trunco, you gotta scratch the card and smell it.
There'll be like a card, like search your deck for a card
one?
And you can smell for it. Which would be the worst
skunk
one?
Ape. Skunk ape.
Skunk ape, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It would have to be just by
yeah,
the name.
Yeah. Skunk Ape gets banned from competitive play.
That's all we have time for this week. We have a new patron. A new patron. Devin. Hello, Devin. Welcome aboard. Sorry, I'm real giddy now.
Why are you so giddy?
Hope you enjoy your stay. So tune in next week for more Trunco talk, Trunco chat. There's now Trunco hotline. And if you like the podcast, suggest this to your friends and family. We'd appreciate that. If you have any personal ghost stories, stories of the weird, that you'd like us to read on the podcast, send them in to us at paranormalhotlinepodcast@gmail.com. Or if you have anything that you'd like us to have a look at and cover, send us an email about it or send us a message on any of our social media and we'll get back to you on it. So thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.